Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, well, that was abrupt, wasn't it? Never on a Sunday. Hey, be Greek with me today. What is going on is that over in Europe, the IMF, those it's like our Fed, you know, they're basically telling and Wall Street with their representative, Barack Obama, are telling the Greek people, the president of Greece, Papandreou, had proposed a referendum for the people's vote about accepting bailout monies from the IMF of Europe. And basically, it would also keep them off of the euro standard, the euro dollar standard. And he just got handed his hat and told, asked what his hurry was, to go back home and tell the people you can't have a referendum because your loans are coming due and we have to accept this bailout so we can pay off on those loans to the bankers. It's basically what it is. But I give you a little bit of information from a roundup, a couple of minutes of what Amy Goodman has to say about it. She's pretty clear, isn't she? A lot clearer than I.
Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. We're on the road in Syracuse, New York. Greece remains in a state of turmoil as Greek Prime Minister George Papandreou faces a vote of no confidence today, one day after he dropped plans to hold a national referendum on the European $179 billion bailout package. Papandreou has so far rejected calls to step down, but it's unclear if he can survive today's confidence vote. Papandreou backed away from his call for a public vote on the bailout after coming under intense pressure from European leaders. He addressed the nation on Thursday.
Rejection of this agreement, either because of a referendum, either because of elections, either because we would not have a parliamentary majority, or because of a weakness in being able to carry out decisions, means an exit from the euro.
On Thursday, Greek union members and civil servants marched on the parliament in Athens to protest the terms of the bailout package.
The solution is a change in policies. The policies carried out by this government were barbaric and detrimental to society, leading from dead end to dead end. The continuation of these policies will lead the people to poverty and deprivation. It will destroy the country. We are fighting to overturn these policies, and we don't care which party is the one following them.
In other economic news, Italy has agreed to be closely monitored by the International Monetary Fund and the European Union. The IMF and European leaders are pressing Italy to adopt a program to cut pensions and expand privatization of state resources. The European debt crisis is topping the agenda at the G20 summit in Cannes, France. Outside the meeting, activists are calling for new taxes on financial transactions in order to raise millions of dollars to fight poverty around the world. Backers of the so-called Robin Hood tax include Oxfam and the World Wildlife Foundation. British actor Bill Nighy spoke on behalf of Oxfam.
We need to fix the system. The Robin Hood tax goes some way to helping to fix the system. Sure, the situation in Greece is serious and dramatic. There is no reason for that to impede the progress of the Robin Hood tax to any degree. If anything, it makes it more urgent because the poor, in the end, are the people who are targeted. They are the people who catch it the worst.
In the latest news,
there's a little synopsis for you of what's going on. Basically, the Greek people went on strike, general strike, all throughout the country. All throughout the country. A general strike. We're now, as Americans, because of the glowing example of Occupy Oakland, we understand what a general strike is about, what it means now. Well, hey, listen, now... Keep in mind that the Greeks have been on general strike throughout the whole country for pretty much months. And not only are they tipping towards insolvency, completely national insolvency, so is Portugal, so is Spain. And, oh, Ireland's laid down and taken the weekend off a long time back. So basically what you've got right now is a crisis, and I think the basically what we have is a European fiscal crisis, and the trigger point seems to be Greece. Greece is going to be what they all... You know, watch, wait, and see. The IMF, as we were speaking earlier, the IMF is getting ready to tell, well, they've already told the Greek people, you have no power. You have nothing to say. You can't have a vote. It's not up to you. We have the hugest, the very biggest example so far yet in history, example of disaster capitalism going on in Europe right now. And, of course, it's been going on here in our country, but there's been a lot of Band-Aids and people are failing to see the forest for the trees. Everybody, you know, these arrogant pinheads of the mainstream media keep asking stupid questions like what's Occupy about. They still don't get it. Weeks ago, Chris Hedges had a discussion about it with an idiot over at CBS. Take a listen.
I think it expresses the frustrations that the American people feel that we had the biggest financial crisis since the Great Depression, huge collateral damage all throughout the country, all across Main Street, and yet you're still seeing some of the same folks who acted irresponsibly trying to fight efforts to crack down on abusive practices that got us into this problem in the first place.
That was President Obama earlier today commenting on the growing frustration being expressed by the Occupy Wall Street movement protesters. That movement is spreading to cities across the United States and across the border to Canada starting next week. Chris Hedges is a Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter and author and a participant at the Occupy Wall Street rally in New York last week and in Washington today. He joins us from our Washington Bureau. So, Mr. Hedges, you were a participant in the protest. How would you describe your role in this movement?
I'm not an organizer. I'm speaking tonight at the rally in Washington, and I've given interviews and participated in events in New York.
So, what exactly is everybody complaining about? And also give me a sense of how much momentum this movement has, because it looks pretty nothing burger so far. Just a few guys, guitars. Nobody knows what they want. They can't even name the names of the firms that they're protesting against. Very weak, low budget.
I wouldn't agree with that assessment at all. They pulled thousands of people into the street last night. Here in Washington, when everybody marched past Bank of America, they knew they were shouting, shame, shame, shame. They know the names of these firms, and they know what these firms have done, not only to the American economy, but to the global economy and the criminal class who runs them.
Well, Kevin made this point of, you know, nobody knows what they want. What do you say to that? I mean, we know that this is a very diverse group. There are many different agendas at play. What is the sense you have of what this movement would like to see happen?
They know precisely what they want. They want to reverse the corporate coup that's taken place in the United States and render the citizenry impotent. And they won't stop until that happens. And frankly, if we don't break the back of corporations, we're all finished anyway, since they're rapidly trashing the ecosystem on which the human species depends for survival. This is literally a fight for life. It's that grave, it's that serious. Corporations, unfettered capitalism, as Karl Marx understood, is a revolutionary force. It commodifies everything, human beings, the natural world, which it exploits for profit until exhaustion or collapse. And the bottom line is we don't have much time left. We are on the cusp of perhaps another major banking crisis in Europe, defaults in Greece, followed by Spain, Portugal. There's been no restrictions, no regulations of Wall Street. They've looted the U.S. Treasury. They've played all the games that they were playing before. And we're about to pay for it all over again.
Listen, don't take this the wrong way, but you sound like a left-wing nut bar. If you want to shut down every corporation and every bank, where are you going to get a job? Where are you going to work? Where's the economy going to go?
Corporations don't produce anything. And
Really?
No.
Financial
corporations on Wall Street.
Are you driving a car to the protest?
No. They are speculators. I'm talking about the financial institutions like Goldman Sachs. They don't manufacture. They don't make anything. They gamble. They use money, and they believe falsely that money is real. As we dismantle our manufacturing base and send jobs over the border to Mexico and finally into the embrace of China.
Well, I see that you and Kevin could get into an absolutely huge argument here.
I don't usually go on shows where people descend to character assassination. If you want to discuss issues, that's fine, but I mean, this sounds like Fox News, and I don't go on Fox News. I mean, either you discuss the issues, and look, you have had very eloquent writers, people like John Ralston Saul in Canada, who have laid this out with, you know, incredible lucidity. And to somehow attack this critique by calling someone a nutcase engages in the kind of trash talk that's polluted the corporate airways.
Excuse me, let's debate the issues then.
You were the one who started it.
I didn't call you a nutcase. I called you a nutbar.
You sounded like a left-wing nutcase.
Yes, bar.
Okay,
nut
that's
bar.
An insult. And,
hey,
and
are you left-wing and leaning at least? Would you say?
No, I would say that
you're a centrist.
Can I finish?
Please.
I would say that those who are protesting the rise of the corporate state are in fact on the political spectrum the true conservatives, because they're calling for the restoration of the rule of law. The radicals have seized power, and they have trashed all regulations and legal impediments to a reconfiguration of American society into a form of neo-feudalism. And that's what we're really asking for, is the restoration of the rule of law.
Okay, but you don't see any value in the banking system providing a financial infrastructure.
That's not what I said.
I'm asking you.
A banking system that functions as a banking system should. And in Canada, you do not have a banking crisis because you did not tear down the walls between commercial and investment banks and turn all of your banks into hedge funds. If instead of handing massive sums of money to Citibank, Wells Fargo, which are basically zombie banks, they still hold tremendous toxic assets, we had created 10 regional banks with $10 billion each and leveraged them 10 to 1, people could have been saved. 6 million people have been pushed out of their homes because of foreclosures and mortgages. We could have reinvested in community. Small businesses, which cannot get credit, would have gotten credit. Instead, they're just sitting on the capital and not lending it.
So we're certainly giving you an opportunity to speak your mind. Just so we can come full circle, what do you suggest should be done with Goldman Sachs specifically?
They should be prosecuted. When you shove subprime mortgages on families that you know can't repay it, and then you dice up those mortgages as assets and sell them and bet against them through AIG, that's fraudulent activity.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us. We'd like to hear your
thoughts.
It'll
be the last time.
Joining us. I mean, have you ever... The pinheads of the MSN are just... And they keep on coming, friends. They keep on coming. You should see what they're saying about the Greek referendum, as if Papandreou is some kind of idiot for allowing anyone to think in Greece that they should have a vote that counts for... what's going to happen to the country. What has happened to us in 08 happened all across the Western financial world and bled into the Eastern financial world. And now it's beginning to have its domino effect again. You know, on the back burner, I have to say, I received an email with a live stream address on it so that I would watch the events as they unfold today and throughout the weekend in Greece. The idea, or not the idea, but the assumption is that the Greek people have been pushed right to the very edge, and they're ready to turn now from the streets, because that's where they've been for months on. And now they've been in the streets. They're getting ready to turn from that and on into, you know, complete and utter chaos. They don't know where to turn. Everything that they have done, the austerity measures that have been imposed on these countries are incredible. And you're not hearing about it over here in America. The American news system doesn't tell you, unless you're watching Olbermann or Amy Goodman, then you have no idea how bad it's gotten for these folks. I mean, there are cab drivers who are getting told they can't buy any fuel for their cars now because they didn't earn enough income the week before to merit buying if they could afford any fuel. Think about that scenario. Think about that for a moment. That's a kind of fascism. Okay, things that, and it's corporate fascism, and it is being enforced through a government that the people chose. That you got to think about that, because I know another place where the same effing thing is going on. Do you? I mean, chances are you're living in it. Chances are you are living in it. So there is something I want to bring up real quick before I lose focus of it. And I want to thank Tricia for bringing this to my attention prior to the show. And on Democracy Now!, they have posted an alert, an action alert. Israel has detained a Democracy Now! Correspondent. Gian Haifetz, I don't know how to pronounce that, Haifetz, Gian Heifetz, who's been aboard the Gaza flotilla, I think on the, it's called the Freedom Waves to Gaza flotilla. She was on the assignment, she was on the Canadian ship, the Tahrir, and she's been filing daily video reports from aboard the Tahrir, and they have been boarded by the Israeli Navy. And the last time that happened, we all basically know what happened. It was a catastrophe. And so if you could call your local congressperson and your state senators, not for the state, but your senators for the state in Washington, please call your Washington-based senators and congresspeople and ask them, you know, what the fuck up with Israel? What is the Israeli Navy doing? It would help a little. I'm beginning to think that, like all of the petitions we sign and send to Congress people and senators, and all of the phone calls that we make to senators and Congress people, and hell, I called the White House twice last week. All of these phone calls, all of these petitions, I think they take these petitions once they're delivered in bound paper, beautiful stuff probably by Care To or Move On or whoever, into whatever senators or congresspeople's offices. I think they go into a closet where they sit. If, you know, a corporation is not backing something, it just doesn't get done. That brings me to another activity that is occurring this weekend. I hope you'll pay attention to, and I've lost the link here. However, all you have to do is Google it. I'm going to try to. But there's a huge, tomorrow at the White House, not tomorrow, excuse me, on Sunday, November the 6th, at the White House, there is a huge event to protest the tar sands or XL pipeline project. The goal is to get a few thousand people together there, and I'm sure the Occupy folks and the October 2011 crew will be on hand to help circle the White House hand to hand and ask the president to make the right choice here. You know, go on and on about this, and this is a radio program that's done, and I want to thank, it should have been First Up, but it wasn't. I always want to thank my fellow Roundtree 7 friends and writers and listeners here for being here. This is a commitment I've made to boycott the mainstream media, and I'm having some great help. I've got Dusty Taylor coming in once a week. She has been for the last few weeks, and bless her heart, she spends the day here doing a lot of great talk, and she's engaging, and she has her fans now, and it's really pretty wonderful. I'm glad for it. I get some listeners now and then. I'm doing this basically as a commitment to be in solidarity with Occupy Wall Street, and then, of course, Occupy Palm Beach County, which is my own little local group. I also want to thank P.E. Nolan, the writer, who's also the good friend Tricia Poole, who comes by on Saturdays when she can, and I do believe she'll be here tomorrow for you. She's very entertaining, and she's also very honest, and she tells some, and of course, I'm kissing her ass right now because she's listening, but Tricia, I'm just kidding y'all. But, great, now she's going to do voices. Well, it is Cosmic Friday, and we are being Greek. The only thing missing is my shot glass of ouzo. I figure I have to do that, or grappa. I figure I have to do that. 5 p.m., she'll be here, 5 p.m., just like the rest of the week. That's pretty cool. I know it's getting pretty cold, too. I want to remind folks that if you can, send stuff down to Fulton, to the Fulton Street address. I believe it's 118 Fulton Street in New York, New York. It's the Up store at Occupy Wall Street. They need, you know, go on by, make it a weekend family outing to go and pick up some dollar coats and dollar socks and dollar sweaters and dollar pants and put them in a box. They won't weigh a whole lot. And send them via UPS to the UPS store on Fulton in New York. And those folks will be very appreciative. If you can afford to, go buy a bunch of really nice warm wool socks in your athletic department or your favorite department store, and send a whole box of those up there. There's just loads of things they need, toothpaste and toothbrushes, melatonin, I'm sure, by the bushel, by the barrel. Just don't forget to keep supporting Occupy Wall Street. They're in one of the colder vicinities. So's Denver. Occupy Denver, please help them out, too. Michael Moore made it to Occupy Denver, where there's been so much trouble for the last week. And then, of course, I mentioned yesterday, Occupy Portland, they need your support, too. And, of course, I'm speaking in terms of if you can afford to, send whatever you can to their respective, and you can find them all online through Google. And I will have the links. I have a list, and I will have the links up at Here Be Monsters, the Here Be Monsters posts at Roundtree and the number 7.com, who sponsors the Here Be Monsters solidarity shows that go on every day, supporting the Occupy movement planetary-wise. And it is a planetary movement right now. So I've been going on and on, and today really is, I want to embrace this, about Greece and what is going on over there. I got to tell you a little bit of the news that's coming out and do some commentary on it, right? And as president of Greece kowtowed to, and by the way, one of the people who was browbeating him into submission, as it were, over there in order to take the referendum off the table and accept the money from the IMF was the cheerleader for Wall Street, Barack Obama. It's gotten very despicable, people. I mean, think about what I was saying. I mean, the people of Greece have been told essentially to go fuck themselves. Their vote doesn't count. Their opinion doesn't. They exist to serve the state, the corporation, corporate earth. That's what the Greeks are being told. Today, I'm a Greek in sympathy with the Greeks. You gotta think that these folks are in pretty much despair over there. I don't think there is a real grasp of just how dire the situation is. When a taxi cab driver gets that, it's like the stories you hear about going to the baker during the Civil War in this country, and the baker cut you out as much cookie or bread as the piece of paper called currency that you gave him was going to give you. I mean, money is an illusion. Money is an illusion, but it's used as a chess piece to really just to bring more and more and more to one group of people. And the Greeks are in despair. In Portugal will go very quickly after them, and there's Spain, and of course the Irish. Well, you know, I think the Irish have actually been sort of just saying, okay, well, we'll sit down and watch and wait. But when they do that, You never know if they're watching and waiting. Of course, I'm Irish, and I get to say something like that, especially about the Dame Street crowd of Occupy over in Dublin, who are good friends of mine, up the Irish. And they're all meeting at Murphy's Law across from St. Stephen's. So it's all good. I'm beginning to sound a little, you know, Trish, you're actually supposed to tell me to what is it? Tone it down when I get a little off the tracks like that. But I'll tell you
what.
Well,
you know, well, I had a hiccup.
Okay.
Well, I couldn't call
in.
You know, but I wanted when I called originally, because you know there's a little bit of a delay. But what I was curious about is you had said about a lot of people don't really know what is going on in Greece. And how what's happening there for the people, you know, because, and I just wanted to say I am one of those people that, you know, that I pay attention to a lot of things, but what's going on in Greece, beyond the headlines that come across my screen, that's pretty much it because I'm reading something else. So I would like to know more about what has happened in Greece and about fascism in general. I mean, anyway,
the people have been in the streets now for months. You've seen some of that. There have been, and you see a lot of Guy Fawkes masks over there, you know, in the streets among them. There is Occupy Athens and Occupy. There's three major places in Greece where there's Occupy movement there. And they are basically just sort of little hound dog puppies following the greater group of Greeks around who are already in outrage and in the streets. This has been going on for months and months. You know,
I remember hearing about it over the summer, and, you know, I mean, it makes it into our national headlines, and even, like, what I'm talking about is if you're watching Matt Hour or something like that, that's, anyway, you know how things get left out of the TV news.
Oh, yeah. And you know where I've seen some of the strangest stuff. I don't know if you Twitter or tweet. I do it at night with my iPhone in bed. And it takes way too long to boot up the Facebook thing. So I program. So I have this wonderful Occupy Wall Street app now. And it'll connect me to a Twitter feed that is Occupy all over the place. And I've been seeing the Occupy from Athens. And people are telling little, you know, 141-character stories about what's going on over there. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, hi, Janelle. Nice to see you. We always say hello to the folks in the chat room that we can see. I realize I can't see everybody listening. Boy, I'm glad that's not a shock, aren't you?
Yeah.
but I've seen some very strange things. That's where I read the piece about the taxi, and there's a few cab drivers that are going through that. They're being told that they may not have any fuel because they have not been making enough income to
Well, you know,
warrant.
I was in a taxi the other day here in New York and was talking to the taxi driver about Occupy Wall Street, and I don't remember what else. He was listening to I don't remember what he – anyway, we got all into – the taxi driver was telling me that the medallion guys are charging them – if they're 5 minutes late getting the taxi back to the garage, they get charged $35 and they can't start their next shift until the owners take it out of their money before they can even start turn a car on. And so I'm just wondering what kind of a barometer it is when – Well, I've always felt like taxi drivers really know what's going on.
Well, I drove a cab down here basically, and I wrote a blog that I got all these cab drivers from all over the world that we used to talk together, and we became Twitter friends, you know, tweeting, especially
right.
at night you sit and you wait in front of the clubs and stuff to pick people up. And I have a very good friend, Lizzie, who went out on her own. She's Queen Cab down here in Palm Beach. And I always talk to Liz about what's going on. There's absolutely, we used to be a very, you know, tourist season kind of crowd. We aren't that mm-hmm. any longer. No season. There has been no season in South Florida for probably 4 years. That's just
wow.
honest. It's not just the Madoff stuff. It's basically, it's since 08.
Sure.
The guys in London were always tweeting about how people would rather walk now than just grab a cab the way they used to, especially even the business class, you know? And
yeah.
In London, the cabbies, they're wonderful. They are usually generational drivers over there. I mean,
mm-hmm.
generational. You know, some of their great-great-grandfathers drove handsome cabs. You know what I mean? You have to have something called the knowledge over there, which means they know every place. Not like New York. New York, you get into a cab, or Boston now, and it's like you wonder what country your driver has come from and how much they usually end up asking you directions. Do you know what I mean?
Well, it'll happen. That's for sure. That's why, especially in the snow, I avoid taxis. But no, I can't take them like I used to. And that's why I think that the people, taxi drivers, really get hit in such a way economically that it's an accurate barometer of
yes, it's
the
true.
Finances
that's
in the country.
Quite right. The cab drivers in Dublin and down in Killarney are, well, Killarney's, you know, it's like what cab drivers, but in Dublin, they haven't been working much at all. And they, when you, a city like Dublin, it's a large town, believe me. And
mm-hmm.
There's plenty of drunks. And there's plenty of, you know, and there's plenty of drunks in New York. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Cab drivers,
there's always
usually,
plenty of drunks.
Yeah, you're usually assured some kind of steady business lines, you know, to the airports
mm-hmm.
from clubs after they close. And then there's the ones you court, which are usually what the car, you know, the it's not a limousine, a livery will do, which is like
mm-hmm.
take the elders to their doctor appointments and such. Cabbies
yep.
are now fighting for those fees. In just everywhere, you know where cabbies are doing A-okay? In India. They're doing well
wow.
in India. But they are a barometer. And to have the Greek cab driver tell you, I don't know Spain. Nobody knows. Of course, I don't speak Spanish too well in Twitter.
Yeah.
So I have no idea. English is the business language. But here's the thing. Greece, they've been going at it for, you know, months and months and months. The people have been in and out of the streets. We saw Occupy Oakland remind this country what a general strike is this last weekend, you know, this last week.
Mm-hmm.
And on Tuesday, America got an idea. Greece has gone on general strike of the whole country, Tricia, like three times in the last 3 months, 4 days at a time. And that means people, essentially, except for the essential emergency, you know,
mm-hmm.
going,
mm-hmm.
staying home. And still, there's been no remedy because it's the euro, you know, and it's the
mm-hmm.
IMF. And it's like having Wall Street over here who have got their greedy little hands wrapped around the cojones and the ovaries of everybody in Congress and the Senate. Am I making some clear sense here?
Well, yeah, but, you know, I was just thinking about how, you know, the Koch brothers own spandex.
Yeah.
You know? Well, that's what, when I think of how there's spandex in so much underwear, I really think that they have a spider short and curlies.
It's okay. Well,
what I've been trying to understand, because, you know, I don't have a thorough understanding of definitions of things like fascism, and so I've only just begun to study what is fascism exactly. You know, you know how things get skipped over in high school, and and when you start looking at it, it's like, oh, holy cow, you know, it's really happening here, in a different way than it has before. And it's just scary sometimes what they do with the
money. Well, you know, Aaron, 2213, would like to know if any of us are economists, and the answer to that is no, I'm not an economist. I'm a small manufacturer, and Tricia is you're a elementary school teacher, aren't you?
I'm actually preschool. I am a preschool teacher.
Oh,
yeah, I work with 2-year-old kids, huh?
That's great. You know, you don't really need to be an economist right now to understand what's going on.
You don't have to be an economist to be affected by the economy. You may not know the history, you may not know the trends, and you may not know certain technical definitions of what's happening in the, you know, macro way of being. But when you're getting fucked over and you can draw a straight line from your wallet to Barack Obama to no tax on Wall Street, and know that Barack Obama is just a long line of corporate spokespeople, he just, so I mean, I don't need to be an economist to be affected by the economy.
Well, and I'm certainly not going to listen to an economist out of the Chicago School of
I was in a creative writing class
You know a little bit about what Naomi Klein calls disaster capitalism, and that's pretty clearly going on in Western Europe right now.
Well,
they're privatizing the government. That is basically, and if you listen real clearly to the news that is being broadcast from Europe, or, you know, BBC or Democracy Now, that's exactly what you hear recorded from these different, you know, it's, you know, privatization of these major austerity programs that they are implementing are about privatization of the existing social programs that they want, you know, cut out, like Social Security, medical coverage, all of your pensions, and private, Janelle, that's quite right, privatizing everything. And it's sort of a right wing juggernaut with a libertarian tail to it how else can we screw the rest of the world and make slaves of the worker class? It basically is coming down that.
Well, it's, I don't know. I always just wind up going back to thinking about what that robber baron said about hiring Jay Gould. One half, he could hire one half of the working class to kill off the other one. So everywhere I look today, see that often with the divide and conquer, and the way there's so many nasty people saying things in chat rooms and just stuff like that. About divide and conquer.
Mr. Aaron is saying that he just got a new job, and he wants to, are any of you ladies, I think he means out of work due to the recession. Well, I own my own business, and I'm a small handmade company. I manufacture, and my business, I've watched so many small shopkeepers that I fell to go out of business in the last 4 years that I've cried at night, you know, of course, because I'm upset about my own circumstances, but to think of these people who work so hard, you know, and it is to cry about. Last night on Rachel Maddow, she had Michael Moore on, and she talked actually about Youngstown, Ohio, and how it's going there. And it really breaks your heart. But you also got to remember one of the things that is happening about all of this, and Occupy Movement is one of the most wonderful examples of it, is we're becoming a community again. We're becoming communities that are reaching out to one another. Have you noticed?
Well, yeah, and as one of the things I do as a preschool teacher is give children a model for how to act in community and how we treat each other. It's all about community. You know, and this is the first time I've seen grown-ups in this country trying to make a community since I went into the field 25 years ago.
Wow. Well, you know, Mr. Aaron is talking about, he just got a great, I'll bet he got a good new job. Tracy, my friend Tracy, who was with us last night on the other show, she's a professional, a media professional. She's a teleprompter. In fact, she works for Barack Obama as his teleprompter down here. And she just did a convention of Office Depot down in Miami. And she was shocked and stunned that the media team, which was small, it was just 8 people, had no real idea what Occupy was about, first of all. Second of all, she said she wasn't so shocked, but she was. Office Depot has just let a lot of their executive staff at the sub-level of the highest executives go because they don't want to pay them their, you know, bonuses and their pensions. And they've let a lot of management go, so that they can rehire people right now. And this is, a lot of companies have been doing this through since 08, rehire at lower wages, you know, people who will work for less and take less.
And also there were plenty of people in newspaper reporters in New York that got, well, in whole newspapers that just got creamed, you know, and because the new, well, back in the day, like in 08, as you're saying, it's like people got laid off. And could even the very same people could go back to work at By the Word with, you know, freelance with no benefits. And that's just been the trend here in every field. So that, you know, nobody has insurance, nobody has anything. And then, you know, anyway, it just sucks all over. Things just suck all over from that standpoint. And so when you're working with little kids all the time and trying to say that, you know, here are our resources and we have plenty for all, and this is how we do it. You know, and
well,
when you need something or you want something, this is how we ask for it. And that's not how they act on Wall Street or in the business world at all. And they try to tell you that this is human nature, and they're so full of shit. And so, like, the thing is, like, no, I'm not an economist, but I've had people, elected officials who are married, putting his hand up my skirt, so I don't need somebody to show me, you know, tell me about a pig. I know from pigs, and there's lots of ways to be a pig.
Oh, that's true. But, you know, Mr. Aaron is saying, would you rather be a small business owner versus working for a corporation? In today's day and age, the risk is about the same. Well, here's what
that's
I have.
That's a good question.
I adore what I do. I really love what I do. I need to make more money, and I would love to make more money, but I feel good about what I do, Aaron. I have an integrity for what I do, and I feel that I give back to the community because I hire people to help me do something that I think is a good thing. I am not digging out, you know, the crust of the earth to find more shale oil or to pollute or to profiteer off of the destruction of the environment. I'm very green. I care about such things. There are those corporations out there that do a good job like that, that are working. Not all corporations, by the way, I am a corporation, are not all bad. We're talking about the obvious ones that are, you know, just, they're gone. They're basically, they've lost their mind.
You know, well, and I think that one of the things that made this country great are small business people. And one of the reasons I can do what I do, because, you know, preschool teachers don't make jack, but I'm happy to work where I work because I do have nice benefits, and I love working for Riverside Church, you know, and it's really, it makes me proud, huh, to be part of Riverside Church with that tradition, and that's a, you know, that's Riverside Church, anyway, huh?
That is actually the thing, Tricia. People should care about what they do. I mean, you know.
Well, see, what I forgot to say is, like, the reason I can do what I do where I live and all of that is because my former husband, the father of my child, is a small businessman in America. And I have directly felt the ups and downs, you know, from whether I could go to Tiffany's, like, before, you know, before the first crash at the, you know, in the late 80s, before we had kids. And I could go into Tiffany's and buy a Bud Vase if I wanted to, anytime I wanted to. And, you know, and then there would be the house being foreclosed on. So, you know, but it's all good, and it worked out. And I'm glad that, you know, he supports that I do such a low-paying job. You know, even though if I wanted to, I could have stayed in advertising and been, you know, a dick sucker all my life, you know. And so I didn't have to do that. I could do what I love because of the support of a small businessman in America. And the way that, you know, the way the insurance system works, where you've got to have like $700 or $900 a month expense for every employee, or else you're leaving somebody who's devoting half their life to you uncovered, just because of the way our system is, like, why should the small business people be paying for people's health care? That doesn't make sense, and it cripples small businesses.
Well, no.
You know, if you're a mom-and-a-pop shop that's been put
The famous lines, and this brings us back to the euro and Greece, the famous lines were, you know, we're the only industrialized country on the planet who doesn't have, you know, single-payer or whole health care.
Yeah,
and,
because, I mean, our lives would have been dramatically different without the...
Trish, they're taking it away from them over there. They're privatizing it. The disaster capitalism is going on right now, and it's going on as the dominoes fall on their monetary systems over there. And
I was just going to say that I think that what you're doing by drawing attention to the connection that we have with the people in Greece is essential, because it points out that this is a global phenomenon. It's not just us.
It is.
And as much as Americans like to make it all about us, you know, huh?
The little Occupy groups that are going on over there are just joining in the old street-tired gangs of Greek people that have been in the streets for, the thing is, I want to tell everybody, hey, give a care. Give a care for Greece right now. Give a care for those people. Because they are in despair. And this is an incredible culture of people who are part of a larger group of different cultures that make up all of who we are in many ways over here.
Mm-hmm.
We're all a family on this planet, and I think Occupy is telling us, you know, we have to care for one another. It isn't about the effing money anymore. It just isn't. It's about survival, like Chris Hedges was saying in the piece I played. It's about surviving all of this, having a world for our children, and getting smart enough and kind enough. I'm talking peaceful resistance.
Well, you know, that's I mean, I have to take it back to my kids again of what I do. And like, what our world has become is, it's not kind, and it's not human nature to be that way, although it is the way of the world. Human nature, as I see every day, examples of very young children who have not been enculturated yet. So you remember that old song, Little Boxes on a Hillside, Little Boxes Made of Ticky Tacky. You know that song?
Yeah, I remember
okay,
that.
Okay, well, so, okay, they haven't been brought through the Little Boxes on a Hillside thing yet. They don't know from the culture. They're just little. And if they see a friend crying, they take him a tissue. You know, they care about each other. And we're conditioned in this world to not care, to get the best for ourselves, and told it's the rugged American individual spirit.
That is changing. You know, I got to say again.
As we speak.
And we've only got a couple of minutes here. I don't go over an hour because today is everybody run on over and listen to Diane G. at the Wild Left at 6 o'clock here on Blog Talk Radio. And at the end of it all, I really want to, I forgot what I was going to say. Isn't it the way?
It happens. Train of thought left the station.
It happens. You know, as soon as we come out with, you know, more than just cream for hormones, we'll be better off, but safely. I want to remind everybody how wonderfully exemplary the guys at Occupy Wall Street are being as far as answering, especially the I can't remember his name, of the General Assembly, who was on Keith Olbermann the other night, and Keith asked him, how are you all dealing with the police and the whack-and-huts and all of these different folks dropping off all of the homeless? And I've heard you talking about, you know, how it gets kind of dicey.
A little dicey.
Yeah, how do you deal with that? And he was really a class act. He said, well, they're part of the 99%. And we're trying very hard to resolve it in their favor, something to help them and to bring about a more safe environment again at Fuccotti Park. And I thought, well, you know, these are not stupid people. Americans are really not stupid people. And the folks over at Occupy Wall Street have a lot in common with the folks who are walking the streets right now in Greece. You know, there's a despair there, even though there's a resolution, a resolve of the soul not to give up and to say enough. The people in Greece have said enough. They've gone on general strike. And now there is the rest of Europe siding with the corporations and banks saying you have to knuckle under to this, whatever we tell you, whatever way we tell you to live, to take whatever you're given, and your vote doesn't count. Can you imagine being told in America right now you can't vote for something?
I don't know. I think that, you know, when I'm listening to this, I'm thinking how so in so many ways it's like our vote doesn't count now because of Citizens United and all the money. You know, and so like I hear that, and when you're talking, I'm thinking, yeah, well, workers of the world unite, because it's spreading from here and there, whether it's in Egypt or whether it's in Greece or whether it's in
just Occupy.
Yeah.
I want to say, Tricia, thank you for calling in. I'll probably be around.
Oh, my pleasure. I'll talk to you tomorrow. I'll be here tomorrow at 5.
There you go. And everybody, please go on over and listen to Diane G. She's going to be talking about what really Occupy could start looking at as far as making plans and making a difference politically in the country. I believe that's the bottom line of her show today, and it should be really great. This is Here Be Monsters. My name is Gwendolyn H. Berry. I am on ongoing boycott, sometimes good, sometimes bad, sometimes indifferent, but always in good heart and sincerely for solidarity with Occupy Wall Street. I want to thank you for listening. P.E. Nolan will be here tomorrow, or Tricia Poole, and at 5 p.m. Thank you for listening. That's a wrap.